and I can make it into more money.
25 years on the air with advice on money matters. Here's your host, Bob Brinker.
We are back on America's Money Program at 1-800-934-2221. That is our contact number. Well, you know, there's a lot of talk in Washington about changing the tax laws. And it's going to be a long, drawn-out process because there are many inputs on this, some in favor, some against. And I think this tax reform battle is going to continue well into the second half of 2017, and possibly they'll be able to agree on something that can get past the House and past the Senate. But it's going to be a lot of work to get it done. And they're talking about getting rid of a lot of deductions, and I think that getting rid of a lot of deductions, which they need to do to raise revenue because they want to cut rates big time, I think what we're looking at here right now is a full court press to try to raise revenue. They're looking pretty much everywhere. And now they're looking at tax-privileged account contributions. This is going to upset some people. Don't get upset yet, because this is only in the talking stage. Nothing's been legislated at this point, but understand that there is a pressing need for new revenue in order to pay for the reduced tax cuts. You see, this is the same thing that applies in the health care bill. The effort on the health care bill is to get rid of that 3.8% tax on high earners. Who's a high earner? Individuals making over $200,000, couples over $250,000 in adjusted gross income. That's defined as a high earner in the parlance of Washington, D.C., that is. And so in order to get rid of that onerous 3.8% tax on high earners, the way they are paying for that tax cut, and it is an enormous tax cut, is to simply reduce spending on health care. And by reducing spending on health care, they can create a huge amount of surplus money, which is then taken back by the cut in the rate. So that's what it comes down to. It's an offset for high earners to get a big tax cut, and it's an offset by the money that's being spent on health care. So at least it's balanced, right? You may or may not favor it, I'm not saying, but at least it's balanced. You're taking money out of health care expenses, and you're taking money and you're putting money into the pockets of high earners. At least you have a balance, you have a seesaw there. Well, yeah, the same thing applies to tax reform, because if you're going to slash the rates into the three new low rates and you're going to slash the corporate rate, then you're going to have to come up with revenue, lots of it, tons of it. And that's where you have to look at deductions. They're looking at deductions. They are talking about various things. One of them now they're talking about is changing the rules on allowing you to deduct contributions to your traditional IRA, 401k, 403b, and 457. Right now, those contributions under current law are tax deductible when they go into those accounts, IRAs, 401ks, 403bs, 457s. Well, now they're talking about the possibility of not allowing tax deductibility on those contributions. And if that turns out to be the case, a lot of money would be created in additional revenue that is now foregone when those contributions are deducted. Now, the problem with this, of course, is that most people don't have the pension accounts anymore. They've been replaced by these accounts. And that was the original purpose of creating these accounts, to encourage people to save and invest themselves. And now we don't know. Now we don't know until this is all resolved, and that's not going to be till late this year. Another thing they're looking at is removing the deductibility of state income taxes, property taxes, other state and local taxes, sales taxes. Most of this is usually in the form of property taxes, at least for a lot of people. This is property taxes as well as state income taxes, especially state income taxes. So if you're in Alaska or the state of Washington, or if you're in Nevada or Wyoming, Or if you're in Florida or South Dakota or Texas, you don't really care because you're not paying state income taxes because they don't have them. But if you're in any of the other states and you're paying state income taxes, including even New Hampshire and Tennessee, where you do pay state income tax on unearned income but not on earned income, then you have your property tax issue, your other state and local taxes, sales taxes, all this. Well, this is under review as to whether we allow any of these deductions. So we won't know this till later this year. We are told right now that the deductibility of mortgage interest and charitable deductions for now appear to be safe. Meanwhile, they're continuing to work on tax reform. It's a long, long process, and it so far it's taken second seed to the health care reform, which is still a long process that has to be worked out. Looks like that could drag into the summer. And they have to go to the Senate, then they have to have conferees, and they have to agree, and none of this is known at this point. So all of this is happening in the context of tax reform. First, tax reform associated with health care, and then tax reform associated with the tax code. And there's going to be a lot of negative feedback about any proposal to disallow tax-deductible deductions to these retirement accounts. As I say, they replaced, for many people, replaced pension accounts. And so they are a big deal for people now, getting that deduction, the people that take the deduction, that is. And, you know, I mean, not everybody has a good pension anymore. Most people are relying on these accounts. Now, there are exceptions. We had a California caller a couple of weeks ago who was eligible to take $1.8 million in a lump sum payout. This was a person that worked for years at one of the California state universities and now was retiring and was eligible to get a $1.8 million lump sum payout. Well, not everybody has that option. And the vast majority of people don't have that option. And by the way, it's those kinds of payouts that have caused problems for a number of states in the various benefits they've provided to state workers. And who pays for that? If you said the taxpayer, you got that right. So that's what's happening with reference to taxes. Actually, there's a lot happening, but it takes a long, long time for these things to be hammered out. And this one is going to be no exception. This one's going to take a long, long time to get hammered out. And, of course, they repriced the I-bonds on this past week. The I-bonds that are purchased through October of this year will get a composite rate of 1.96 annual, and that is going to be entirely inflation pay-through. So that's the way that works. Why? Because the I-bonds base rate, the fixed rate, remains at zero, where it has been recently. So the only thing you're getting is inflation, and right now they priced the bond to yield 1.96 annual for the 6 months ending October of 2017. So that's where that stands. By the way, if you have the old I-bonds, the ones we recommended on Money Talk, where you had a base rate of 3%, you're getting 4.96. If you had a base rate of 2%, you're getting 3.96. You're the winners. The ones with the high base rates that we were recommending back in the day, you guys are the total winners in this deal because you get your base rate and you also get the inflation. We'll return with our guest segment. First, I want to take a look at the week ahead because there are a number of things happening on Wall Street this week, but not that many. Most of them are happening at the end of the week. Of course, we'll get the jobless claims update on Thursday. We've had 2 years of fantastic jobless claims, and they have continued. They're expected to continue this week. We'll also get the Consumer Price Index on Friday, and we're expecting to see maybe 0.3% on the Consumer Price Index on Friday for the month. The year-over-year has been running a little bit over 2%, but the Fed prefers the other gauge, the personal consumption expenditure gauge, and that's been behaving itself much better than the CPI, which is not a good barometer of inflation. CPI is not a good barometer. Of course, that's the one the government uses for inflation indexing because the government makes a lot of mistakes. This is just one of them. We'll also get retail sales coming out on Friday, and they're expected to show a bounce, a nice bounce in retail sales is expected on Friday. All in all, not that much coming out this week in terms of economic data. We'll return with our guest segment. Stay with us on Money Talk.
Money Talk.
Hey, remember a couple years ago when we thought we'd save some money with do-it-yourself window coverings?
Unfortunately, yes. I measured.
I ordered.
We both installed. What a disaster.
All the way around. And we're pretty good at do-it-yourself. But obviously, window coverings really call for a pro.
A pro from Budget Blinds.
They're the do-it-for-me people. They bring the store to you, come in and measure, then install it all.
And that style and service for every budget thing they talk about? Turns out it's for real.
Right. Budget Blinds has no surprises pricing and a no-questions-asked warranty. The best in the business.
That's a no-brainer.
And this spring, you could get up to $500 off on Signature Series window coverings.
Save money and your dignity. Call 855-BUDGET-BLINDS.
Or go online to budgetblinds.com.
855-BUDGET-BLINDS or budgetblinds.com. Forget do-it-yourself.
Get an expert to do it for you at a price that fits your budget. Call 855-BUDGET-BLINDS now.
Offer good on selected products at participating independently owned and operated franchises only. Some restrictions may apply. Ask for details.
What does a school bell bring to mind? The day's end? Or the end of school entirely? As in, kids dropping out. At Communities in Schools, we're helping at-risk students whose ability to show up for school is jeopardized by hardships.
They've always had my back. They've always done anything to help me.
Anytime I needed support, they were there.
We work in schools to help kids stay in school.
Communities in Schools never gave up on me. They told me I can do it, and I did it.
See how we help all students succeed at communitiesinschools.org.
When you need, spends a little too much time in the sun relief.
Yikes.
Attack of the Angry Mosquito Relief.
Hey, watch this.
Scraped knees.
And an elbow.
Relief. You need new Goldbond Pain and Itch Relief Cream with lidocaine. Goldbond has the maximum strength lidocaine available without a prescription and starts working on contact to numb away pain and itch. New Goldbond with lidocaine. Relief starts now. Use as directed.
Hi, this is Dr. Drew, and if you are struggling with anxiety, depression, trauma, and/or drug and alcohol addiction, I urge you to contact the professionals at Insight Psychology and Addiction. They have a treatment team of licensed mental health professionals that will help you get your life back. Now, if you're suffering, stop the pain of substance abuse, depression, eating disorders. Insight has programs that can help you at all stages, and they will create a plan that works for you. Call Insight now at 888-511-3379 or go to their website at nsightrecovery.com. That is the letter N, Sight, S-I-G-H-T, nsightrecovery.com. Stop suffering. They're located in Newport Beach. Most PPO insurance plans are accepted, and this team can help you end your struggles. When individual therapy is not enough, call 888-511-3379 or go to nsightrecovery.com to end your battle. As a physician, I support Insight and endorse their treatment programs. Stop suffering and get your life back. Call 888-511-3379 or go to nsightrecovery.com.
Hi, it's Dr. Leanna.
And Margaret.
Ever wonder why you are the way you are? Want to know more about yourself and your psychology? You have questions, we have answers. Tune in to On the Couch with Dr. Leanna and Margaret, Fridays at midnight, right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
If you have to call a plumber, why not call one who shows up on time and smells good? Like Mike Diamond, the Smell Good Plumber, at 1-800-446-MIKE. Or you can always book your appointment online at MikeDiamond.com.
Hey, y'all. This is Aaron Tippett. Being in the music business, traveling, working late, doesn't do great things for my routine. But I found that staying active and making time to work out helps keep my energy where it needs to be to perform my best. No matter what you do or where you are, make time to stay in shape. You'll feel better and have the energy you need to accomplish your goals. This message brought to you by the U.S. Air Force.
This is Money Talk.
Coast to coast, border to border, in the islands of Hawaii and north to Alaska, it's Money Talk. Bob Brinker here. Thanks for joining us. Our guest in this segment is Tyler Cohen. Tyler is the author of The Complacent Class, The Self-Defeating Quest for the American Dream. Tyler is economics professor at George Mason University. Tyler, we thank you for your time. It's good to have you with us.
Hello, my pleasure.
A little bit controversial here, The Self-Defeating Quest for the American Dream. Tell us a little about that title, subtitle.
It's a book that looks at how Americans have stopped taking so much risk. We start new businesses at a lower rate. We innovate less. We move less frequently across state lines. We're very paranoid about how we raise our children. So the idea of the complacent class is just we're not so much a dynamic society anymore.
That's an interesting comment. We're very paranoid about how we raise our children. Why do you say that?
There are parents who let their children simply play outside and someone calls the police and they can get in trouble. So even though American society has lower crime and is safer than for many decades, people take more and more care to control their children. It's part of a general trend. We also medicate ourselves more. We try to control our lives more to limit risk. We hold safer portfolios. So overall, in the short run, this often feels good, but the long-run effect is our economic growth slows down and we lose social mobility.
You mentioned medication. That's an interesting word because we've seen this movement across America, especially with medical marijuana, but now it's even spilling over into recreational marijuana. Let's just get high and party marijuana. We're seeing this movement toward marijuana. What's that all about?
You know, I favored the legalization of marijuana. I don't feel people should go to jail for things they do to their own bodies. But I don't find it a very favorable social trend. It's people taking a drug that makes them sleepier or less active. And I think it's another symbol of the decline of dynamism in America.
Interesting theory, because some people have complained in the states that have had the legalized recreational marijuana. Some people have complained, for example, about increased risk, increased mayhem, if you will, on the highways as a result of that medication. What say you?
Well, if you compare it to other potential drugs you might take, crystal meth or cocaine, compared to those, it definitely calms you down. And we live in a time where people are mostly opting for drugs that calm them down. Heroines and opiates would be other examples. Those are more destructive. Think of the 1980s, a more dynamic time. It's like the peak years of cocaine. That would rile you up. Maybe you'd commit more crime.
Well, no one's holding a brief for legalizing cocaine that I've seen. At least among the sane among us. Let me ask you this. Are you okay with driving and smoking marijuana or consuming marijuana edibles?
No, there should be restrictions on that, as there are with alcohol. Those should be very strictly enforced.
Okay. Well, there's no question there's been a movement in that direction. You have a chapter, Why Have Americans Stopped Moving? Tell us about that.
In the 19th century, even most of the 20th century, America was renowned for people being willing to pick up and move, whether to get a job or create a new life, and that largely is over. The rate of interstate moves has gone down about 50% from its post-war peak. We just tend to find a place we like, and then we settle in. And again, that's very comfortable. It gets back to this point. There are a lot of individual decisions we make. They're good for us, but when everyone in the country does it, it means our labor markets adjust less quickly. There are longer spells of unemployment. A lot of regions don't recover very quickly. And again, that gets back to this loss of dynamism.
You have a chapter three in your book, The Reemergence of Segregation. Now, this is a topic we don't hear a lot about. Tell us about that.
Since the 1990s, this country has become much more segregated by income. So rich people are more likely to live next door to other rich people. Poor people more likely to live next door to other poor people. Along some dimensions, racial segregation has gone up also. So a lot of us had this dream from the 1960s, the civil rights movement, that somehow we would all blend together in some harmonious whole. And we've been moving away from that for some time now. And it relates to people getting stuck in life and economically, because mixed neighborhoods tend to be best for mobility.
Yeah, that's interesting because certainly with reference to the income segregation, I wonder if that's just the art of the possible taking place where, well, I can afford to live in this gated community, and so other people who can afford to live in this gated community are my neighbors, or, well, I can't afford to live anywhere but here, and so other people who can't afford to live anywhere but here are my neighbors. Isn't that just economic reality? What do you think?
Well, that's some of it, but it's gotten much worse, and then people move into places such as San Francisco, and they limit buildings so others can't move in there also. So we have this big problem that a lot of America's most productive cities, they're not very welcoming to outsiders anymore. And if you compare that to the 1950s or 1960s, when you could just, say, move into Manhattan or Los Angeles, find a cheap place, work your way up, those days are largely gone.
Although what's happened in the Bay Area, especially San Francisco, also has something to do with the economics of, let's say, these new companies, Silicon Valley companies, mm-hmm. that are based in the Bay Area, and then they've created all this enormous wealth for a relatively few number of people compared to the population of the total city, and then they just run up the prices and nobody can afford to live there.
Oh, sure, but if we could build more, there'd be greater supply on the market, there'd be cheaper apartments, it would make it easier for many people. Obviously, those people who live there now, they would maybe give up some green or face some heavier traffic, but it would make this a more upwardly mobile country.
So why don't they build more?
People like their protected positions. They want to protect the value of their home. They're worried about who might go to the same school as their children. So, again, it's good for them individually, but bad for our country as a whole.
Our guest is Tyler Cohen, economics professor, George Mason University. We're going to talk some economics when we return. His new book, The Complacent Class, The Self-Defeating Quest for the American Dream, by Tyler Cohen, New York Times bestselling author of The Great Stagnation. I want to revisit the Great Stagnation topic also because, as you know, Professor, we've been basically stuck in a roughly 2% real GDP growing economy seemingly forever now, many, many years, with no change evident, at least in the current data. So we can talk about that and update your views on the Great Stagnation as well. Tyler's new book, The Complacent Class. We'll return with Tyler Cohen, and your calls are welcome on the toll-free line. Here's a number to call directly for Professor Cohen, 1-800-934-2221. That's our number, 1-800-934-2221 on Money.
This is Money Talk. Allergy congestion. Cut grass. Cat on the sofa. Dust in the carpet. Whenever allergy congestion makes you feel trapped, break through with Allegra D for 5-in-1 24-hour multi-symptom relief. Allegra D combines a non-drowsy antihistamine with a powerful decongestant for fast relief that starts working in just 1 hour. Break through allergy congestion with Allegra D. Use only as directed. Guaranteed or your money back. Visit Allegra.com.
You're listening to Love Advice with Leanne. Caller, you're on the air.
Hi, Leanne. Longtime listener, first-time caller. Why, in your professional opinion, do you never take my calls off the air?
Is this Carl?
Yep, it's Carl. I mean, we had a few dates. Everything was great, I thought.
Well, you know, when you switch to GEICO, you could save a lot of money on car insurance.
Okay, awesome.
You should call them.
I will.
GEICO, because saving 15% or more on car insurance is always a great answer.
Not available in all states.
Mom, look! Frozen yogurt! Can we get some?
Wow, a frozen yogurt robot. I've never seen anything like this.
Look at all the toppings! I want sprinkles!
Go ahead, sweetie. Choose what you want. There it goes.
Oh, wow! It's actually filling my yogurt! And there are my sprinkles!
So how does it taste?
Amazing! Want a taste?
A taste? I want my own.
That was the sound of a delicious frozen yogurt being served by an actual robot. It was the sound of a Reese and Irby's Froyo robot, a fully automated revolutionary robotic vending machine that serves 7 different flavors of delicious frozen treats with up to 6 toppings in under 60 seconds. Customers choose their flavors, select their toppings, and the robot does the rest. Amazing Froyo creations at any high traffic location, malls, hospitals, movie theaters, practically anywhere. You can now own a package of your own Froyo robots as an exclusive franchise opportunity. Want to learn more? Simply go to FroyoFranchising.com and enter promo code 4040. That's FroyoFranchising.com. Promo code 4040. Reese and Irby's is a subsidiary of Generation Next Franchise Brands, a public company, VEND.
Hey, it's Heidi. If you want to sell your used car easy and hassle-free, then you have to call 800-870-1841. What's that number? Well, that's the number to CarStub. CarStub.com will get you more than a dealer trade-in price without the hassle of selling it yourself. CarStub.com will handle everything. I'm talking top to bottom, start to finish. The DMV paperwork, they'll get your car smog tested, and if everything checks out, they'll buy your car on the spot. Call them, 800-870-1841. So if you own a car, truck, van, or SUV, you could be sitting on a pile of cash that you can have access to today. Call them, 800-870-1841. You want convenience, right? Well, CarStub.com is probably the most convenient way to sell your car. It's the new marketplace to sell your car same day and at a great price. You will not be sorry. Believe me, I know the owner, Derek, and he will get it done for you. Call him, 800-870-1841. Are you curious about what your used car might be worth? Maybe you're not ready to sell just yet. Check out CarStub.com. Don't forget to tell them Heidi sent you. Go to CarStub.com, have an appraiser at your home the same day, or call them 800-870-1841 or visit CarStub.com today.
Jose, I still can't figure out why you want to be one of them smell good plumbers.
Honestly, Uncle Baba, the better question is, why wouldn't I? They drive new, fully stocked trucks with everything and a toilet too. They wear fresh, clean, company-supplied uniforms. They have a price book with every job to eliminate guesswork. They don't have to drive far from home to get to the nearest service center. They work for a family-owned business with a family-oriented culture. They know everyone on their team is background checked and drug tested, and they get to help people by unstopping drains for $99.
Gee, maybe I'll put in an application too.
I don't think that's a good fit, Uncle Baba, but they are looking to add to their Smell Good team. So, if anyone of you listening wants to apply like I did, please do.
This is Mike Diamond, and I guarantee my plumber will show up on time and smell good, or your house call is free.
Become a Smell Good plumber today. Apply online or call 1-800-446-MIKE for more information. Contractor license number 399-178.
What's going to happen next?
Hey, it's Peter Tilden on the next Peter Tilden at 10. You're not going to believe this. American Airlines is now being sued by a man who claims he was cramped by two obese teenagers.
I'm not fat. I'm big boned.
And swearing while working out may actually make you stronger, according to a new study.
Oh, yeah. Who f***ing loves you?
It also may get you thrown out of the gym. Those stories and more starting at 10 right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Wanna be an insider?
Hell yeah!
Log on to KABC.com now and become a KABC insider.
Ooh, what do I get?
Get special access to SoCal's hottest concerts,
sporting events, including Kings hockey,
and more. Yeah! The KABC Insider.
Because if you're not on the inside,
you're out. Register now by going inside KABC.com.
Talk radio.
Talk radio.
Talk radio.
790 KABC. Home of the smartest listeners in Southern California. Talk radio 790 KABC.
This is Money Talk.
From the beaches of Waikiki to the shores of Block Island Sound, it's America's Money Program, Money Talk. Our guest is Tyler Cohen. Tyler Cohen is economics professor, George Mason University, author of his new book, The Complacent Class, The Self-Defeating Quest for the American Dream, and also author of the New York Times best-selling book, The Great Stagnation. Been a few years since The Great Stagnation. Tyler, anything surprise you in the last few years since that book hit the stands?
Well, I actually thought by now we might be out of the Great Stagnation, but we're not. I mean, measured productivity growth is pretty close to zero. Economic growth is between 1% and 2% usually. Labor markets have recovered slowly. Wages have been close to flat. So we're still in it.
Well, we've seen certainly the Federal Reserve, I think you would have to agree, not speaking for you, Tyler, but I think you'd have to agree that the Federal Reserve has certainly made an effort, a big effort, I would say, to try to make a difference. On the other hand, even though we do run large deficits, we have not really seen any additional piling on the fiscal side in terms of infrastructure or anything of that sort. Any changes that you could see that would make a difference to get out of that 2% rut?
Well, the Fed can only do so much. So the Fed can limit catastrophe, which they should do and have done. but they don't actually get growth going again in a sustainable manner. For that, you need production and innovation and job creation. And again, both sociologically and economically, I see this nation as having been fairly sluggish. And in some ways, we've relied too much on the Fed. So the Fed, I think, realizes it's at the point where it can't do anymore, and it's just waiting for the rest of the economy to respond.
Well, I understand what you're saying when you say, to a certain extent, we've relied too much on the Fed. But when you take a look at the whole situation, they have been the only game in town.
For quite a while, yes. But that worries me. You know, again, innovation really needs to step up. We've been very strong in the tech sector, but so much of American life, it seems not that different from how it was several decades ago. Healthcare, education, costs are much higher. The quality is better in some ways. You know, trying to afford a home, transportation, traffic congestion is worse. The experience of flying has not really gotten any better. So I think there's a systematic problem in the non-tech sectors of the economy.
Well, I think there are at least a few passengers that we've heard about in the last few weeks, and many others as well, that might argue that the experience of commercial air travel has gotten a lot worse.
Yeah, you know, you have less space when you sit in the seat. It's striking that in, say, the 1960s, people thought by now, you know, we might be flying to Mars or have flying cars or, you know, private submarines. And most forms of transportation are worse than 30 or 40 years ago in many ways.
Well, we talk about technological innovation. I guess some people would argue that this has been a monster. I mean, we have basically in our smartphones now, we have computers in our hands. We have the internet having spread into so many different areas. We have talk now and research being done, serious research on driverless cars, which will lead to driverless buses, which will lead to driverless trucks. Some people would say that's pretty massive innovation. What do you think?
Well, driverless cars, when they come, that will count for sure, but that's probably several decades away, and we will regulate them and give them a lot of uncertainty about liability in the meantime. I think a lot of the recent innovations, they've really made it easier to stay at home and consume leisure. So there's Netflix streaming, there's Amazon, and all that computing power in your smartphone most people don't use. And I think actually a lot of tech has made us more complacent rather than more dynamic.
You touch on a very important point in your remarks, Tyler, namely the fact that productivity has been tracking closer to zero lately. What do you think is going on there, especially given the fact that we've had all this technological progress? One wonders, are they accurately measuring productivity?
I don't think it's completely accurate, but I think it's roughly accurate because if you look at indicators of investment or how much people are working, those are all moving in ways consistent with low productivity. I think some of it is the economy is too regulated. Some of it is just that we reached certain plateaus and we're not sure what to do next. Some of it is, I think, a lot of tech, like driverless cars. It just takes a long time to get them implemented and working and to organize the economy around them, and we're taking it very slowly.
Well, in the case of driverless cars, given all the risks on the road today, that might not be a bad idea to take it slowly. Let me ask you this, Professor. We've had a situation here where Al Gore's remarks notwithstanding, we certainly had government involvement in the process of developing the Internet, the innovation that's come as a result of the Internet. And we know that a lot of the basic research that eventually gets to the private sector has ties to government research. We've seen the Defense Department innovations over time, and they can also spill over to the private sector. What, from your point of view, what is the role of government in innovation and breakthrough?
Well, I think government should spend more on research and development. That's been pretty flat for quite a while. In projected budgets, you basically have entitlement spending going up and R&D either flat or declining. That's a troubling trend. Private sector R&D expenditures have been flat for a while. Again, not the worst possible scenario, but we can do much better than that.
Well, let me take the other side on that 2% growth track, because, by the way, if you take the numbers over the last several years, 5 years even, you get a real GDP annual year-over-year growth rate of just a shade over 2%, two and a small fraction, around 2.2 perhaps. And on the other side, you know, I know we have the let's grow faster crowd out there, but on the other side of the coin, you take a look at this growth rate, and it gives you low inflation, it gives you low interest rates, which encourages borrowing. It gives you practically no bottlenecks in the manufacturing system. It seems to me there are a lot of course, it's given you the mother of all stock market runs in the last 8 years. Seems to me that you could make a pretty solid case that it's been good. It's been a good thing. What do you think?
I would trade all of that for higher growth and higher real wage growth. Keep in mind that 2%, it's not a real 2%. So much of that is catch-up from what we lost in the Great Recession. So we've really been having an underlying rate of growth much lower than 2%. So that's worrying. Out of the Reagan Recession, you know, we grew 4%, 5% some years. And right now we can't do the same. That's nowhere in sight. And I think you're seeing that in people's political discontent and a lot of social problems.
Our guest, Tyler Cohen, economics professor, George Mason University, author of The Complacent Class, author of the New York Times bestseller, The Great Stagnation. We hear a lot about repatriation, and I certainly favor repatriation at a special low rate. I don't have any problem with that. But I do question the thesis that the repatriation of foreign profits is going to lead to accelerated economic growth. I do believe it will, as it has in the past when it's been done, I do believe it will lead to more buybacks of common stock by corporations. It will lead to perhaps better dividend streams. It may lead to more merger and acquisition activity. But I question whether bringing this money back leads to a more rapid rate of growth in the U.S. economy. What do you think?
I don't think it's really going to matter. Keep in mind what people call repatriation. Those dollars, they're just electronic bookkeeping entries. You know, they're on the books of a bank. So the bank, rather than saying the electronic entries are in London, says overnight, well, they're in New York. But nothing actually has changed. It's really about, are the opportunities better? And just shuffling around the electronic bookkeeping entries, I don't think that boosts growth at all.
Well, I'm inclined to agree with you. I'm a skeptic as to whether it does have any impact on the rate of growth. One of the problems I have with that theory is where does the demand come from? I mean, I often hear what I consider to be economic nonsense. For example, that companies will bring back money and build factories. Let's give that as an example. We've heard this this bromide. Oh, they'll bring the money back and they'll build factories. Well, my question to that has always been, if you're a CEO, why would you build a factory just because you had money in the bank when, in fact, you would only build a factory if you had excess demand that required additional supply? What do you think about that?
I don't see any evidence for that mechanism of all of a sudden people building factories because they can bring the money back. At the margins we're at, you know, we need more new ideas. People create things when they have a new and exciting idea. I think the demand is there for things people want, like iPhones, or there's a lot of new restaurants opening up. So, you know, there's slow but steady growth. So there is some real income to buy things. But again, it requires entrepreneurs to see what people want and give us reason to actually go out and buy it.
Another thing we're hearing a lot about is, well, we're going to slash the corporate rate. Some people have talked about 15%. Most people seem to think 20 to 25% for a top marginal corporate rate is more realistic. We'll know more as the year progresses. Reductions in the corporate tax rate, do you see them having an impact on the rate of growth?
It would bring a modest improvement. So less capital would be exported to emerging economies. More of those companies would do their business here. It would be an improvement. I don't see it as a game changer. But right now, those companies spend so many, you know, hours of lawyers trying to evade the higher rates. They end up paying a low rate anyway. So I think there is a way we could improve our corporate tax system, and it would involve a lower rate. But don't expect it to turn things around, I would say.
Tyler Cohen, our guest, his new book, The Complacent Class. Tyler, you mentioned wages, and you said you'd like to see more rapid wage growth. Well, a cynic might say, oh, well, that's okay. If we get more rapid wage growth, aren't we going to get more inflation and higher rates?
Well, if you have higher economic growth, you get higher interest rates, but people are still better off, and in fact, savers are better off with the higher rates, too. It's hard for me to think of a scenario where you would prefer lower real wage growth. We've had a systematic shift of income in this country, you know, toward capital and away from labor. On the whole, I don't think that's good. I'd like to see labor earning more, and that would help demand, too.
Well, what about the inflation equation? If you get this more rapid growth in the economy, inevitably you're going to get more inflation. You're going to have supply-demand imbalances develop. You're going to have capacity utilization rise to levels that will mandate increases in inflation. Isn't that just putting it in, you talk about, isn't that just an offset? It's like a seesaw. Okay, my wages went up 4%, but, well, inflation went up too, so I'm even.
Well, again, think of the Reagan years. Inflation during that recovery was never below 4%, but wages went up quite a bit more. People had jobs. They were very happy. It was good for the stock market. Interest rates went up too. But I still think that's better than what we've been seeing, to have real incomes grow, say, 4% a year, even after inflation. Even if that means higher rates, I say bring it on.
Well, let's talk about real growth in wages. What real growth in wages would you be targeting?
Oh, I wouldn't target it, but I just think if we would regulate the economy less, reform our tax system, solve the health care problem, in general be more dynamic, take more chances, you know, we could grow, say, at 3% and compounded over time. That makes a big difference than just growing at 2%. And we would have a healthier economy. We would be able to, you know, pay off our debts in the federal budget, and it would be a much better, nicer country.
What kind of a real wage growth number, annualized, would you like to see?
2% to 3%. And again, we've had that plenty in the past. There used to be a time in this country where living standards would almost double every generation. And now we're at a time where for male earners, they're actually not rising at all. Families are wealthier because, you know, women have worked more or gotten more education. But men, for decades, their earnings essentially have been flat, except for the top few percent.
All right, to try to put numbers on this, if we had the Fed's target level of 2% inflation and we had wage growth of 4 to 5%, then that would reach your a level that you're liking, which is 2 to 3% real wage growth. Looking at the figures we've been looking at for years, I mean, a cynic would look at these numbers and say, how are we going to get from where we are to these wonderful numbers where we have wages growing 4 to 5 in a 2% inflation world, giving you the 2 to 3% increase in real wages? How does that happen? Do you have any suggestions?
Well, I don't think there's any single button we can press to get there. In my book, I outline how for decades we've been moving toward taking fewer chances, being less innovative, and you can't just turn that around overnight. Maybe, you know, a 10, 20-year process, we can get back on the right track. But I don't think we're going to manage it. I think for some time we are stuck in slow growth.
You have a chapter titled How a Dynamic Society Looks and Feels. Give us a little color on that.
Well, I've made many visits to China, and part of this book comes out of that experience. I just thought, well, how would the United States look to someone from China rather than to someone from, say, Western Europe? And China has a lot of problems, bigger problems than we have, but still there's a sense there of possibility and mobility. And China people assume, you know, 5-10 years from now, cities will be entirely different. A lot more will be built. A lot of incomes will be higher. And they have a mentality geared more toward economic growth. And I think we should copy some of that.
Well, I wonder if it's fair to compare a relatively highly developed society and economy like the USA to what is arguably still an emerging economy in China. Is that a fair comparison?
Well, China's beat just about all the other emerging economies, so they do have a secret sauce. I'm not saying we should be like China or pollute as much as they do or be an autocracy, But nonetheless, is there something in Chinese risk-taking, Chinese business sense that we can learn from? I think the answer is absolutely yes. And you see it when Chinese come to this country. They bring some of that formula with them, and they've done great. I say good for them.
I see a lot of them wearing masks because they can't breathe their own air. Tyler Cohen, our guest, his new book, The Complacent Class, The Self-Defeating Quest for the American Dream, and also author of the New York Times best-selling book, The Great Stagnation. Tyler, we thank you for your time, and we wish you continued success. Thanks for being with us. This is Money Talk.
Money Talk.
Listen, this whole do-it-yourself thing is fine for some projects, but when it comes to window coverings, not so much.
Tell me about it. I did some do-it-yourself shades that are best described as uneven and twisted.
Yeah, I've seen them. That's why I'm going with Budget Blinds.
That's a style and service for every budget people, right?
Yeah, and that is for real. Budget Blinds has no surprises pricing and a no-questions-asked warranty. The best in the business.
No surprises pricing and a no-questions-asked warranty?
No-brainer, right?
So Budget Blinds comes in, measures everything, orders for you, then they install it all?
It's a beautiful thing. And now you can get up to $500 off on Signature Series window coverings.
Another no-brainer. Number, please.
855-BUDGET-BLINDS. Or go online to budgetblinds.com.
Call 855-BUDGET-BLINDS and get the experts to do it for you at a price that fits your budget.
Call 855-BUDGET-BLINDS now.
Offer good on selected products at participating independently owned and operated franchises only. Some restrictions may apply. Ask for details.
It's the thrill of the grill event, now at the Home Depot, where the Kingsford Lone Star Charcoal Grill is a special buy at just $99. You'll save $50. Its durable cast iron grates and extra large surface can handle up to 24 burgers at a time, making you the undisputed grillmeister on the block. Get a fresh take on spring with the Kingsford Lone Star Charcoal Grill. Just $99, only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Valid through May 31st while supplies last. Selection varies by store.
Yo, everybody get up! Everybody get up! Everybody needs to understand that I'm more than simply a hype man for this rap group. Just like GEICO is more than just a company that can save you money. GEICO also has fast and friendly claim service, so they can help you when you need it most. And while I do love being a hype man, I also love reading for children's audiobooks. Like Little Bo Peep, she lost the sheep, and she don't know where to find them. Go!
GEICO. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.
Now through May 9th, save $4 instantly when you buy four participating products at Smart and Final. Choose from selected varieties of Tropicana orange juice, Frito-Lay party-sized chips, Pepsi 12-pack cans, and more. Mix or match, see store or smartandfinal.com for details.
Hey Metro PCS and Cricket customers, are you tired of family plans with data limits? Check out Boost Mobile's best family plan ever. Right now, add a line with unlimited gigs for just $30 a month. Is that an amazing value or what? Even more amazing, you can add up to four lines with unlimited gigs for $30 each, all on Boost's crazy fast nationwide network. And did we mention that your first month is free for your new lines? Plus, when you switch, you can get up to four free Samsung Galaxy phones. Goodbye, Metro PCS. See you, Cricket. Hello, Boost, and the best family plan ever. What are you waiting for? Visit a Boost Mobile store today. Offer ends 6/1/17. Primary line must be on $50 plan. Video streams optimized at 480p plus. Music up to 500 kilobits per second. And cloud gaming up to 2 megabits per second. Data deprioritization applies during congestion. 3 month credit for each additional line is $30. Max 4 additional lines. Credit applied at time of activation. Free phone requires port in and activation on $50 plan while supplies last. Coverage and offers not available everywhere. Restrictions apply.
Saturday mornings at 7, backed by popular demand, it's The Real Estate Zone with Danny Batsalkin. Whether you're buying, selling, or investing, learn the strategies and secrets from the pros. That's Saturdays at 7, right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
My name is Meera Batra, and this is How I Live United. Many families have come to America for a better life. I advocate for these families with United Way. United Way empowers them to see opportunities available. We help them get involved with their kids, schools, and network within the community. My name is Meera Batra. I help families see opportunity and succeed. I don't just wear the shirt. I live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer, live united. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
This is Money Talk.
For information on my investment letter, Bob Brinker's Market Timer investment letter, go to bobbrinker.com and request a complimentary bank issue. Easily done. Go to the home page right there at bobbrinker.com. Click on the Request a Complimentary Bank Issue feature, and that will do it. By the way, the May edition of the Market Timer investment letter has been published. It is currently available. While you're at the website, check out Money Talk On Demand, because you can stream our Jabberfest to your computer and download to your smartphone as well. That is Money Talk On Demand. We have another name for it, Money Talk To Go. They're both the same. And with Money Talk On Demand, you can listen wherever you go and whenever you like. Wherever you go, whenever you like. Sign up at bobbrinker.com, right there at the Money Talk On Demand logo. The investment talk, of course, is year-round. And for those of you looking for information on the Fixed Income Advisor, the website there is fixedincomeadvisor.com. fixedincomeadvisor.com. That is the website for that newsletter. And we thank Tyler Cohen of George Mason University for spending some time with us talking about his new book as well. Hey, before they beam me out of here, let me thank all of our Money Talk Trekkies for cruising with us on the Starship Money Talk. Program coordinator Ravi Chandran. Meredith Oakes is our producer. Technical directors Angel Bordone and Mr. Bob Mack. Till next time, happy investing, and may the odds be ever in your favor.